Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You might be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. Before we dive in for this episode, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has left a review on my podcast. Here's a shout out to Ashley, who left a review and said, "Monica Burns does a great job at sharing tips for how to integrate technology in easy and practical ways." Thank you so much, Ashley, for taking the time to leave that review. And as a thank you to all of you, if you take a moment to leave a review on the podcast, maybe you're listening on Apple Podcasts or listening on Spotify or another podcast platform. Well, if you leave a review wherever you're listening, send me a message on Twitter or Instagram after you hit submit on that review. You can find me at Class Tech Tips. So leave a review, then send me a message on Twitter or Instagram, and to say thank you, I'll send you a special digital gift right your way. So if you have a moment, please leave a review of the podcast. This week's episode is titled "Turning Reluctant Readers into Eager Readers with Digital Resources" with Talia Kovacs. Talia and I have worked together for several years, and she is a fantastic literacy educator with so much insight to provide on reading in both offline and online spaces. As you'll hear from Talia in this episode, she is CEO of LitLife, a group I've worked with for a long time now, and she has her own consulting for families to support student readers, and I'll put all of the resources in the show notes where you're listening to this episode. Now, it was a little stormy here on the East Coast when we recorded this, so the Zoom audio recording is a little funny in a couple places, but I don't think it'll get in the way too much as you hear all of the awesome ideas Talia has to share. Let's dive in to the conversation. Welcome, Talia. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today, and I'm hoping that we can talk a bit about turning reluctant readers into eager readers and spotlight some digital resources and strategies. But before we dive into all of that, can you share with everyone what your role is in education, what your day-to-day looks like, and let them know a little bit about your work?
Yeah, great. Monica, thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be with you all. So my name is Talia Kovacs, and I'm the CEO of LitLife. LitLife is an international literacy consulting firm. We work with school districts around the country and around the world to promote joyful reading practices in school. And then I also run my own family-based consulting business on the side, working with families to do the same thing, to start a child-centered movement, to give parents the skills that they need to really promote reading at home, make sure that their kids are happy and fulfilled and confident in their schooling.
Wonderful. And I mean, it's something that is always so important in front of mind, and especially now when we think about the role that family has in supporting students who might be learning from home and reading from home. And so I'm curious to hear a little bit from you about some of the ways you've seen students use digital tools, you know, as consumers, whether it is reading off of digital devices or listening to podcasts or listening or watching a read aloud video. What are some of the ways you've seen students use digital tools as consumers?
Yeah, so I think especially, you know, since March, I've seen such an increase in schools allowing for digital resources, and you know, all of us as teachers have had to kind of just get up and running very quickly, becoming fluent with all of the resources that are available. And so I've seen actually almost like a decentralizing of what kind of books kids have access to in a really good way, I think, for a lot of their classroom library, but now they have things like Epic, like, you know, all of the kind of reading softwares that school, Mion, the reading softwares that schools have. And so they're able to find more books that they're into because they're able to kind of search in a broader way. Mm-hmm. So in terms of families, I've been encouraging families, and I know teachers have been too, to use read aloud resources. I mean, my favorite very simple read aloud resources, maybe a little too low tech for this podcast, but is just YouTube read alouds. You can find pretty much every book read aloud by several people on YouTube. And then what I've been working with parents on is actually helping them find some books that are related to what their kids already like. So I don't know if you've seen, but like Minecraft has this whole like little education comic section that they have now. So I think with the digital tools, kids now have more of a say, and it's almost democratized reading. And I think in a pretty big way.
Yeah. And what a good perspective to kind of think about framing that as the importance of student choice. We know that there are so many reasons why we want kids picking books or just making decisions, and sometimes guiding them, you know, in certain mm-hmm. directions is something that happens too. But you know, you mentioned this idea of high interest resources, even a Minecraft kind of connection to things that kids already like and are excited about. But how can digital resources help reluctant readers maybe become a little bit more eager or more eager readers?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. So I think that there's two things that I think are important with reluctant readers. One is, you know, we need to look at, is it reluctant reading or is it, you know, unskilled reading? And I think that a lot of the kids who we see as reluctant readers, especially in the older grades, some of them are just not interested and they love their science and their math and they just, you know, don't care to read. And those are kids that we could really, you know, reach with high interest, really exciting books. And I do want to talk to you about how we can kind of redefine our definition of reading to include some of the things that our kids are already into. And then there is the group of kids who maybe they would like reading, but it's just always felt hard for them. And so I think that as teachers, as parents, as, you know, adults who work with kids, we want to make sure that we're correctly diagnosing the problem before we kind of jump into solutions. So if it is really just a kid who can fully read everything on the page, but just isn't into it, what I've seen work really well is for us as adults, first of all, to kind of broaden our definition of reading. So if this is a kid who loves to do science experiments, you know, I work with a fourth grader who like loves to make slime, loves to make volcanoes, all of that, but just doesn't want to really sit down with a book and doesn't want to sit down with a comic book, which, you know, comic book has book in the title because it is also a book. But then what we'll do is we'll go on, you know, WikiHow or do a how-to, and we'll learn further, and he'll read step by step by step. Here's how you make slime. First, gather all the ingredients, you know, then you mix them with water. And so he's reading in that instance, and he's just not, you know, with the whole internet at our fingertips, is for teachers and parents to create a little, whether it's through bookmarks or just, you know, create a Google Doc with various resources, to create some resources that involve reading, right? That involve, you know, reading is making meaning. So looking at words and interpreting them and making meaning from them, but maybe aren't a short story, maybe aren't fiction, right? Maybe it is just nonfiction, you know, putting together recipes. There's a million recipe blogs, and you and I both know reading recipe blogs that there's a lot of reading to get through before you get to the recipe. Yeah. So just by us as adults kind of broadening our definition of reading a little bit to include some of our reluctant readers already, and then pointing out to them too that this is reading. So, okay, so you read this whole WikiHow on how to make slime, and look, now we have slime in the house. Great job. You really read that well. Or, you know, how did reading impact you this week? What did you read this week that taught you something new? So we have people in our lives who cannot at all, you know, do not care for any kind of fiction stories, but will read like a 600 page book on World War II, you know, military strategy. And so we do want to think about those people as kids, right? Who don't quite care for fiction, but do really want to get new information, want to learn something new.
I love that idea of broadening the definition of what counts as reading, mm-hmm. right? And then that recipe connection is so true, right? You think about all the story you have to read to instead of scrolling down to the bottom when you're like, what do I actually need to put in this, yes. in this apple cobbler or whatever it might be? And so that idea of giving kids that purpose with the reading too, like you mentioned, to say like, we made this slime because we read this thing, right? Just reinforcing that behavior, I think is so important. So I love that idea of being flexible and broadening that definition to think of the different things that, you know, that counts. And, you know, when we do talk about digital reading experiences, I know you and I, of course, work in lots of classrooms and with teachers and with students of all different ages. And we know from our experience that not every student loves reading online, right? Or wants to swipe pages with their finger, right? Some mm-hmm. students would much rather head to that classroom library or pull out a novel from their backpack, right? And hold that in their hand. And so for students who might prefer reading, you know, a paperback or a hardcover book and have some of those more traditional experiences, you know, what are some ways that we can get them sharing their reading experience online? Are there ways that you've seen or that you recommend to educators to bring the digital component in, even if a student prefers to read in an offline or analog way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think working with kids right now is like, what are you doing at home? You know, or like what's going on in there if I can't see it? Because in the classroom, of course, we see what kids are reading. And so it doesn't matter as much to us, you know, are you reading paper? Are you reading digitally? And now a lot of kids are reading on paper and something like Epic. I think that the big thing is then what is the follow-up, right? And there's so many, you know, I know that many teachers use book lists or brief reports to just kind of see what kids are reading. And I think that those, you know, definitely have a time and place. But I think we can all get a little bit more creative with how our kids kind of reporting back. So in one classroom that LitLife works with, we've seen teachers actually do it on Fridays. Every kid submits a 30 to 60 second video. You know, here's what I've read this week or a book that I want to tell you about. And they're holding that treasured, you know, at home book that they love, that's next to their bed, that they're reading at night. And they're just talking about it over video so that it's not like, okay, every single time I read, I then have to write a little report. But rather we're including that social aspect. And then all of the kids in the class are then commenting on it like, oh, I've read that too, or maybe I'm going to try reading that. Or so I think that for us to follow up with kids who really do like to read analog, right? We need to think about how can we still make this reading is really a solo, you know, a solitary activity. So how can we make it a little bit more communal? I think the videos are really good. I've also seen a lot of teachers So like a kid will put their book, I don't know, you know, in depending on the neighborhood or kind of how this could work in like a bigger city, but in some of the smaller neighborhoods that we work in, another parent to come in, and it's based on those book recommendations that kids have done 2 weeks, like 2 weeks earlier, I heard you read this book. So let me go and get it. And so then the teacher is able to coordinate some of that community feel still and still be able to use some of her own digital resources. Like, you know, we're putting this on the classroom blog or we're talking about, or then the two kids together might do a little writing on the book. I think that for the kids who are reading analog, the main thing is how can we still make this a community-based activity for them so that they don't feel, you know, all kids right now are just feeling pretty alone. So how can we kind of bring folks together using our digital tools, even if the actual act of reading is kind of happening solo?
And I like that connection so much to say, like, there might be a student who is a reluctant reader who prefers a paperback book or hardcover book in their hand, but they don't want to have a book report be the end game, right? Mm-hmm. So we really can use those digital tools to have them, right, with a kind of a low stakes, right, lower impact type of share. But, you know, that is something that might really get them excited to jump onto, say, Flipgrid or even Seesaw, right, and record themselves talking about their experience. But at the same time, it kind of checks another box for us as we think about supporting reluctant readers who might need ideas or want to read the same thing as their friend. And if they watch that 30-second video from our monthly favorite books or whatever the Flipgrid topic is named, right? That's a really great way to give kids some action and some agency. And so, you know, Flipgrid is definitely one where kids can capture and talk about their books. You mentioned Epic, and I know I've talked about Storyline Online on the podcast before, and you mentioned YouTube as a place to go for read aloud videos as well. Are there some other online reading resources that you would recommend to teachers or recommend to families to explore?
I really have fun with Superhero Comic Book Maker is like just a little app where kids can make their own comic book slides one by one. And then I think that what you're saying about Flipgrid and Seesaw is right, because those are just so interactive for kids and their classroom community. And then one more that I really like for teachers is Wordwall, which turns like the most kind of mundane phonics lessons into something that's really exciting and fun to do. Like they have these spinners, or they have whack-a-mole, or they have all these kind of fun games that where you're still practicing going, you know, talking about reluctant readers. And a lot of them still do need some of those skill-based work that can feel a little bit dry, especially over the computer. That's a little more interactive and pretty fun and for kids and their teachers. And then one more videos, I think that a lot of us are really, you know, we see writing as the end game and speaking can feel a little bit less rigorous. And so I do want to give us all the opportunity to see it as a rigorous, very valid, very important method in the classroom. So, you know, you have to speak before you can read. And so by giving kids the opportunity to speak their thoughts, we can then transition it into something that I do with families and then also with teachers is sometimes we'll do on presentation. Kids can speak into it. They could record their whole book recommendation and then it can show up as text. And then they could just edit that text and, you know, depending on their age, like put it into different lines or put in illustrations or something so that the focus is not on, okay, let's go and write and spell all these words correctly, but the focus is on what are your ideas? What are you thinking? How are you feeling? And then, oh, okay, so let's translate that just so that other people can have access to it.
I love that. And I think, you know, it connects back to this, what you said about broadening what we think about as consumers. You know, I like that you've kind of given us permission to say, you know, it's okay, right? This counts also when we have kids create or share something about their reading. And Michelle Hyken has been on the podcast and we talked about podcasting with kids, right? And recording voices. And what you mentioned about voice to text, I mean, that technology has just come so far along.
Oh, yeah.
I know that I'll sometimes joke about this, and you've known me for a long time now, where, you know, like my Long Island accent creeps out every once in a while, and still my vowels do a pretty good job when I do the voice to text, you know, or do live captioning for something. And, you know, that technology's come a long way. I mean, I use voice to text technology for transcriptions for these podcast episodes. So giving kids that as a vehicle to talk about their reading experiences, pull out the ideas, and then take it, you know, to kind of the next step, whatever that next step might be. I think it's really empowering to students too, especially those that might feel like their spelling is a hiccup or, you know, gets in the way. You know, we're really removing some of those barriers for them. So really love that and that kind of permission you're giving us to kind of broaden all of the ways that we think about students as readers, because sometimes that is what's, you know, making someone a little reluctant or hesitant to jump into a new reading experience. And so, you know, Talia, you mentioned about, your work supporting families and supporting educators, of course, too. And I know that you have a wonderful website and you've got some giveaways and things for folks who are looking to support their students and children as readers. Can you share a little bit more about that, about what people can find when they go to your website and learn about your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So for families, I have this Reluctant Reader Pack, which is basically, it's a couple of resources for parents to really get into with their kids. Like, what is it? How can I interest you in reading? And then how can I kind of talk to my kid's teacher or other caring adults in their lives about my child's reading? So there's some surveys, there's some ways of building up stamina, if that's what the issue is. There, we also have some questions. The questions, inserting the word might into a question to kind of take the pressure off. Why might the character instead of why did the character? And so all of that is available at my website, taliakovacs.com, and it's just a free download. And then if you are a teacher or educator really wanting to get into joyful reading, joyful literacy as a practice, We at Lit Life, we've got a lot of resources in our monthly newsletter. And so you can go to litlifepd.com also to check out for teachers and educators, really, how can I turn my literacy block into a time that all kids are feel connected, feel excited to be there, and feel happy with their work.
That's wonderful. And I will make sure to put the links for that for anyone who's listening now into the show notes so that wherever you're on Apple Podcasts, you'll see it in the description or Spotify, or if you're on the show notes page, I'll make sure to put it there too. And so before we wrap up, Talia, can you share a little bit where folks can connect with you or learn more about your work? You mentioned your website and Lit Life's website. Is there anywhere else folks can follow along with you?
Yeah, I am newly on Instagram at Talia Kovacs Consulting. And so there I'm sharing just some thoughts and tips in turning a lot of actually thoughts around turning reluctant readers into eager readers, and also just quick tips for families and educators to make sure that they feel really connected to the bigger purpose of how we're teaching literacy at home.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here on the podcast today. It was so much fun having Talia on the podcast, and make sure to check out her Instagram and Facebook pages for resources, including easy to implement tips and games for literacy. I'll link to Talia's Instagram and Facebook pages right here where you're listening to the episode. You can go to her website, taliakovacs.com, for family resources for reluctant readers, and of course, litlifepd.com for teachers looking for literacy resources. Now let's finish up this episode like we always do by making this EdTech easy. First, identify the pain point or problem that you are noticing with that reluctant reader in your life. Next, broaden your definition of reading. Think of other things that might fall into that category, like reading online to research or even a recipe. Then, give students a way to respond so that they are able to share their learning with a community of readers. And finally, provide ways for students to share that include video or audio or voice to text. Mix it up for your reluctant readers to make the most of digital resources this year.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.